Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The ADVFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the ADVFN Podcast, episode 254 on the podcast today. By the way, tell a friend if you've got a friend. I'm not assuming you have a friend, and I'm not saying there's any stigma attached to that. But if you do have a friend, I'd really appreciate it if you did. Muchos apreciados. By the way, on the podcast today, Paul Rodriguez from thinktrading.com will be charting Arm Holdings, BHP Billiton, Tungsten Group, Anite, Adkins, Wincanton, and Vectura. Plus, I have the broker forecast and the micro macro news. But first, what are you investing for? What are you investing for? Let's be honest. Ask yourself, have you ever asked yourself that question? Because I have, and sometimes I just aimlessly invest, you know. But when you think about it, how often do you leave the house with no idea as to where you're going? Just going for a walk? I've no idea. Just walk aimlessly around. You know, and so if you have no destination, it very rarely happens. You leave the house for a reason, to go somewhere. You have a destination. You know exactly where you're going to. Because if you have no destination, how do you know if you've arrived? How do you know if you've even got there? You know? And so that's the thing with investing as well. You have to have some kind of goal. Are you just doing it for fun? Are you doing it to retire? Is there a special, you know, event you're saving up for, you're trying to make money for? You know, so for me, essentially, I want to be quite wealthy or doing well. I don't want to be skint when I'm retired. That's what I'm saying. When no one will employ me, and you know they barely employ me now, let's be honest. But when no one will employ me, I want to be able to say, I still got money coming in, you know, and it's at a decent level that I can have a nice life, go on a couple of three or four holidays a year, and not be nothing worse than being old and skint. Being skint is horrible. Being old is not the best. Being old and skint, not a good combo, you know? So think. And this inspired me. The reason why I'm saying this, what are you investing for, is because I had an email from Richard. And we had a little Twitter conversation. And I was saying about AIM. It's a really hard place to earn money. AIM on the alternative investment market. And you're better off going for small caps. If you like small caps, on the fully listed market. There's more regulation and over 20 years, they've had a fivefold increase. The FTSE small cap AIM. It's lost money, about 24% worth. So it's not good. So we were chatting. And then Richard emailed me. Said, this is my investor journey. A lovely email. Thank you very much, Richard. He said, I'm a fairly new investor, 2-3 years. I first bought shares on tips, friends who were in the markets telling me which hot stock was going to double, treble overnight. I've had a very mixed success, and I'm probably down overall, which is ridiculous after 5 years of a bull market. I've mainly invested in AIM shares over the time. Well, listen, the stat is 72% of investments on AIM have lost money. The overall index is down by around 20%. It's down one point, lost on average 1.6% a year. This is compared to gain in other markets. So it's no wonder you're down if you're investing mainly on AIM. But anyway, Richard goes on to say, a couple of recent losses on AIM shares got me thinking, I run 3 successful businesses, and yet I'm an appalling bad investor. Why? Well, do you know what? Investing does takes practice. It really does. But this is what Richard said. When running my business, I do the following. Number one, I write the business plan annually and review it against this plan weekly and monthly. If the plan isn't working, I take action and I adapt the plan. Number two, I manage risk. I don't over-rely on one customer, etc. And number three, I focus on what I know works. Don't try big new ideas, or if I do try something new, do it gradually, so if it doesn't prove successful, there's no harm done. And then he goes on saying, when managing my investments, I was doing or not the following. I had no plan, no end goal. I was taking big risks, up to 50% of the portfolio in one AIM stock at times. I would never do this in business. And number three, I was investing in company sectors I had no knowledge of, e.g. African gas companies. What have I done? Over the last few weeks, I've done the following. And it's quite detailed. So go to sharepickers.com, and I really envy it. He's written it down. And sometimes when you commit something to computer or paper, it sticks in your head, and you can revisit it. And so that's inspired me. And do you know what? It's been proven if you write a goal down, people who write goals down and aim towards them are more successful generally than people who don't, who walk around aimlessly. Of course, it's going to be the case. So write down your goal and then plan your steps towards it. So almost say, this is what I want, then come back halfway. This is what I need to achieve by then. Come back halfway from that. This is what I need to achieve. And break it down into small steps so it doesn't seem too bad. So this is what I've done. Let's say I retire at 65, which is just over 21 years. Sorry, over 40 years' time. Only kidding. Over 20 years' time. So I'm 44 now, 45. So I've got a 20-year max goal. I'm not going to say I'm retired at 65, but let's say I do. First of all, I need to work out how much I need to survive on when I'm 65, I'm not employable anymore. And they suggest around 67% of your wage now, if you're happy with that, because you won't have, hopefully, a mortgage. So I'm going to go on round figures. I know the average rate wage is about 26 grand or something like that. So I'm going to go on 30 grand. Let's say I want to earn 30 grand a year when I retire. So what I need to do is times the 30 grand a year by the 20 years. £600,000. Now, all I have to do is work out how much in terms of percentage gain on my portfolio I need to earn each year to achieve that goal. So let's say round figures again. Let's say I have a portfolio of 100 grand. I know it's quite a lot, but I'm just working in round figures to make it easy. And if I achieved a 10% annual gain, I would have £672,749 by the time I'm 65. So there, I've achieved my goal, starting off 100 grand, working out I need about 10% a year. And do you know what? With good dividend-paying stocks and some capital upside, that's not unachievable. Again, don't make unachievable goals. You know, make them realistic. And I say, 65. Of course, I'm not going to stop investing by then. In fact, by then, I'll probably be quite good at it. And joining me on the podcast is Paul Rodriguez from thinktrading.com. You all right, Paul?
I'm very well, thank you, Justin. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was just saying, though, just before you hit record, that it just seems like a long week for some reason. I don't know why. I feel like only Wednesday, surely? It just seems like it should be a Friday by now. I don't know why.
I think it's got something to do with all the market stresses with Greece and everything else going on. It's just made everything seem so much longer. You know, with all the announcements over the weekends, I don't think any traders have had any break at all. Mm. There's been no respite, really. So, but it's all interesting stuff.
So are you generally on the equity market, on the UK equity markets, are you bullish or bearish? What do you where do you sit?
Well, I still sit on the bearish side, if I'm honest with you, Justin. Yeah, that's been my kind of core view for some time now. I don't like the idea of QE and sort of manipulation of the stock market to make it go higher. I always think that the market's eventually kind of correct, but there's definitely been some very interesting stocks that have moved higher within that. But we're seeing a big correction in the commodity markets now, which again was my core view for oil and gold to go down. I'm more in the bearish camp, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's have a look at a couple of stocks and maybe covering some of these now. Yeah. So sent you an email there. Let's look what we started off with. Arm Holdings, the results are out. And they are in fact, they've upped their dividend and they're not big dividend payers. But after Apple came out last night and fabulous figures from Apple, but yet they didn't meet estimations or forecasts, which were super high anyway.
Yeah.
And Apple's forecast apparently wasn't that bright. So Arm, of course, because they supply chips to Apple, they pulled back a bit today.
Yeah.
Obviously, ticker code ARM. How are they looking? What do you think?
Well, a couple of things. On Apple, I've been a little bit bearish broadly on that particular stock, simply because I think they've reached a point where other people can develop the same products at a cheaper price, and their innovation is into things like, streaming music, which has been around before, and compared to some of the competition who are coming out with some fantastic phones at a great price, I don't know. It's just, it looks a little bit overvalued here. And the iWatch, or the watch, I should say, is not something I ever thought would catch on. I've been in the slightly skeptical camp about that, mainly because battery technology isn't there. So Arm Holdings could well suffer a bit more if Apple, as you say, continues to go down. And there may be a bit more in the correction. But technically, it's made a double top formation. When it broke 10.32 on the share price, that made a very large topping formation, which would imply a bit more of a correction. But why it's quite interesting where we are now is it's a great level of support around £9.95, which is just below that psychological £10 level. So, you know, if one wanted to put a toe in the water just to see if that level holds, it's not a bad place, because it was the high of 2000, or it was a resistance point from 2014. It took a little bit of time to get through on the upside. Sometimes that works very well on the downside. So if you wanted to buy it, if you were, you know, just predisposed to buying the stock, then I would say around here is a good level to try, even though I'm slightly cautious on it. But give yourself a stop loss of something like, you know, well, whatever really you can afford should be your stop loss. But I wouldn't hold it much below £9, because that would imply that downward move is continuing and could have a bit more to go. So that's how I would play Arm Holdings.
Yeah, and when you have figures like Apple that are amazing, and you know, and you realize after a while, but they are, I mean, at the moment they said they are cannibalizing with the bigger phones, they're cannibalizing the iPad market, which sales have gone down. And it's like, you know, companies get they become their own enemy, because they get super successful and they can't keep beating. It's like, you know, McDonald's, when they were simple, they had like basically five items on the menu. Your Big Mac, your cheeseburger, your burger, your fish thing, and your chicken thing, that was fine. Then all of a sudden, they have all these different kind of, you know, cultural dishes from around the world, and they've suffered from it. You get bigger and bigger, more choice, you get people more, and you have to obviously invest in more products to get them out there. Some of them will be weaker than others, and you find sometimes that you suffer because of that success. Now, it'd be interesting to see how long it takes Apple to sort of, you know, these figures to pull back a bit and start to, you know, seeing a slowdown. Because I do like the brand, and I like
so
the...
So do I.
I like the, you know, I love the, I mean, once you're in that, they've got this, how would they call it, their environment that you get into it. Once you get into the adoption of their products, you're locked in pretty much, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's, I can't think of the word they describe. But I do like that. But I just wonder when they hit saturation, and also when they overcomplicate their model. Because when Steve Jobs first came in, his first job was to basically said, stop selling products. We're going to cut the lines right back. They had a lot more lines apparently then. And he cut them right back down to the basics and what people wanted.
Yeah.
But now, like, I agree. The iPhone, to me, I won't be getting one. I know one guy in the radio station we work at has got one. He's an engineer, so he's a bit of a tech geek, you know. So I think it's the more tech geek side. And they didn't release the figures on those, and they said they wouldn't. But you're wondering, even though they said the sales were good there, you wonder why they didn't. But anyway, that's Arm. Yeah, be wary of Arm, you're saying, essentially, because you know, you may lose an arm if you carry on investing in those.
Well, so you've got to be careful, I would say. I mean, I agree, actually, with the Apple iPhone. You know, I think it's a fantastic product. I think everything Apple makes, obviously, is top-notch. The only thing that disappoints me is that the memory that you get with these phones is so small, and it fills up so fast. And then
they do that on purpose, though, don't they?
There is that, and I don't... To be honest, would have Steve Jobs let that happen? I don't know.
Because you buy iClouds, and it's another revenue stream for them. And I think that's the way everything's going to the cloud. And I think you can get pretty much about 5 gig for free, can't you? And then you start charging. I'm reluctant to pay for the cloud. I mean, I've got Google Hard Drive, Dropbox, and I've got iPhone, so I've got enough gigage in the cloud there. But there we are.
Yeah,
I know what you mean. Okay, let's. I know, but I think people are migrating. I think generation below us won't see any problem with paying for the cloud, or it'll be a case of if you have extra cloud, you get adverts or something. There'll be monetizing ways around that.
I think so. Yeah. At the moment, when memory is so cheap and you get used to uploading so many things for, like on Flickr or YouTube, you know, there are places to put your videos and your pictures. Mm. Whether you pay for something else just because it's a iCloud link to your Apple phone, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. There are other ways of doing it, and it's just another thing you have to pay for. So yeah, but I think you're right, they'll solve it, but it's just interesting. It's a kind of different focus, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
Okay, let's move on to another biggie. This is BHP Billiton, one of the biggest miners in the world. I own these because they're playing a dividend now of 6%. Wow. They are the biggest miner in the world, and it's a race to the bottom, essentially. They're producing iron ore, and I think their production guidance out this today, and they said essentially that a good year, you know, record production, but obviously prices are cheaper, and next year they will be cutting production a little bit. Yeah. So they're down about 5%, which is a big drop. And... but you know what? I'm fighting this super cycle, this commodity price super cycle, because I think with I own Royal Dutch Shell as well. My theories behind this is that, you know, when the price goes to a certain level where it's not profitable for most companies to explore anymore, a couple of years down the line we'll have a lack of supply. You know, because you can't overnight dig for iron ore. It takes a couple of years to get the process going, and oil, and all of a sudden when demand is growing anyway for these products. I mean, we think this is pulling back. It isn't. China's slowing down, but it's still expanding by 7%, you know, which is a lot on a 1.3 billion population. So I think when the supply is cut right back on these things and no one's exploring for this anymore because it's not commercially viable, that's when the price will shoot straight back up. Yeah. And so I'm holding, sitting on this, in fact, it's over 5% or 6% for BHP. It's nearly 7% for Royal Dutch Shell dividends. I'm buying slowly, you know, I'm scaling in slowly.
Feeding into it, yeah.
And sitting on it. But I mean, it doesn't look a good chance. Is it BLT?
As a technician, I have to say I am concerned. It has been coming down. I mean, it fell most of 2014, had a great rally towards the end, and then it's broken that previous low that it made last year. And that technically is not a good sign. But I hear what you're saying. You know, this perhaps if we get a sharp rout in commodities, it will flush all the sellers out, and then the market might sort of take stock, and you'll get a reversal. But right here, right now, at this particular moment, I think you might get better levels to add to your portfolio. Yeah. I personally would be sitting on the sidelines until it could get back over £13. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that to me is kind of a bit of a safety level for it to show me it wants to recover. But I hear you. If you're taking a view on a stock like this in its correction, you're taking more of a 2-3 perhaps longer year view.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, that's this view I'm giving you now is only very short term. You know, good for like a couple of weeks or a month. But I think it might be trying, believe it or not, to get all the way back down to its, you know, 2009 low. That's how the chart looks.
Was that £10?
Well, that's a bit lower than that, actually.
It spiked down, didn't it? About £7.30 got down to.
Yeah, it got down to there. But, you know, it's got a huge barrier in between at £10, as you say. So I think, you know, I think there will be a lot of interest in it around that level, if it gets there, indeed, if it gets there. So I'd be looking at either around £10 to nibble in, or if it breaks over £13, it would tell me that the market's turning. And also, I'd keep an eye on commodities, because this is tracking commodity prices very, very closely. So, as one would expect. So that's worth keeping an eye on that for a proxy trade in that stock.
Yeah, cool. Okay, let's go on to it's a tiddler committee, those two. It's called Tungsten, and this is a company that was shorted heavily, and it's online, and basically it's become a bit of a game breaker or game changer in the way we invoice. It's trying to do invoices completely by electronic ways rather than paper invoicing.
Okay.
And it's on AIM. What's the market cap? Yeah, it's 86 million, not a lot, but it's been hugely shorted, and the boss of this company has been buying up like crazy, trying to prove the short is wrong. But it's not a fight you want to get involved in, really. Like I said, it's come down from like £4 to 73p right now. But is it forming a bottom there, Paul?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. If you'd asked me when it was trading around 50p, should you touch it? I would have said no. But if you'd asked me as it broke through 69p, I'd say that's formed a technical reversal, a double bottom. It's made two lows and broken through the closest resistance point, which is 69p. Then you've got a reason to buy it. So whilst it's above 69p, I think you can hold it. And I'd be looking for £1.20 as a target. There's a bit of resistance, obviously, at £1 the figure and £1.12, but I think there's enough gas in the tank for it to push up to those levels. Now, given the longer term downward trend, I'd be cautious about expecting much more than that. This is just an interim rally and it needs to do a little bit more work before we can be totally comfortable that it's changed its trend. But for the moment, I wouldn't be shorting it at this point because the short-term trend is higher. But that's not to say it's out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination. And if it does slip back below that 69 pence level, then I wouldn't be comfortable holding it at all.
Yeah, well, and also, like I said, it did, you know, start forming uptrend. It broke that 50-day moving average yesterday. But then today they've had preliminary results out for the year. And they're down nearly 16% on these results. Mm. I mean, it is a loss-making company. Of course, they're plowing a lot into it at the moment. Yeah. Made a loss of, I think it's about 25 million lost, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, on a revenue of 23. So,
it's not for the faint hearted, this one. This is going to be a volatile stock.
And exactly.
And the color you put around it is very important because, you know, you can see that there's obviously some shenanigans going on. And there's some, you know, some interesting background to it, to why the share price is swinging around. And, you know, so it's not one where you can just trade it and just sit on your hands for a couple of years. This is one where I think you've got to be pretty active on it. And when stocks are this volatile, you really got to be watching them day to day. And it's difficult to give a longer term view. But that 69 point, I think that was a very good technical point to watch. And just be careful if it holds below there, that it could suggest it could be weaker.
Marvellous. All right, that's the three stocks I suggested. Do you have any stocks that you see a bit of bullishness in?
I've done a scout. I've seen a lot that are going down, so let's avoid those because obviously you want the opposite. I'm going to give you some what I call some quick hits, and so I'm not going to go into any detail.
No, okay.
Okay, so it's basically Anite Group.
I one of my Sunday stock picks, I held these. I did sell recently. They were the takeover target, basically.
Right, well, yeah, it's obviously shot up as we can see, but it's formed a nice little, what we call a flag. So if it holds over like 122 to 123, it's worth holding up for a move up to 140, perhaps even higher. So, but if it breaks the 122 level, get out. Atkins.
What's the ticker there?
I've got AT. I use a different system. I think it's
ATK it is, yeah.
ATK, yeah. That's trying to break into a new high. It's come off it, but it's still in a nice upward trend. If it holds £15, I think that's worth buying here with a stop below £15, looking for £16 as a target and beyond. Yeah. Wincanton, that's in a nice upward trend. Just relatively simple.
It's win.
As long as it holds over 175, I think that's a good play to squeeze up to 225. And Workspace Group has been in a nice upward trend. It's got a big overhead resistance point at £10, I believe. Yeah, that's £10. So a bit of a barrier there, psychological level, but it's a really smooth upward trend, and that's moving nicely. So the final one is Vectura Group, VEC. That forms a lovely pennant, what we call a pennant formation. Mm-hmm. So risk against reward, I really like that. What I mean by that is if you're wrong, you won't lose very much.
Yeah.
Obviously, market willing, but there could be some nice upside towards £2. So it's trading at 178, stop loss at 172, target £2.
Cool. That's good stuff. And do you know what? I think today is a good day to try and look at bargains because our market is down by, I'm looking at the FTSE, down by 1.6%. We hadn't seen this since the Greece days, you know, the last couple of weeks. But I think it's on the some of the companies coming out. I mean, Microsoft had a loss, Chipotle, Apple didn't beat expectations. So we've got it's revenue season, earnings season in America, and some of the big companies are not beating forecasts, which is, in one way, it's not a bad sign because that means, you know, Janet Yellen there will maybe put off interest rate hikes. You never know. It may help the equity markets.
I think so. I think if she raises interest rates, it's premature. You know, the Japanese did the same thing when they got the first taste of deflation and they raised interest rates and they had to bring it all back again. So let's hope that they'll sort of become slightly more dovish and the market will have a bounce.
Marvellous. Lovely to speak to Paul there, and you can contact Paul at thinktrading.com. Thanks, Paul. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you. My pleasure. Take care.
Okay, it's time for the macro and micro news. Here's the macro news. All nine Bank of England policymakers voted to hold interest rates at 0.5% in July, minutes of the meeting show. However, there were signs some Monetary Policy Committee members are edging closer to backing a rate rise. Whoa. The minutes said a number of MPC members saw a rising risk in the UK inflation heading above 2% target in the medium term. For these members, the uncertainty around the Greek debt talks was a key factor in voting to hold rates at 0.5%. More than half of under 40s will be renting homes from private landlords in the UK in 10 years' time, accounting firm PwC has predicted. It suggests house prices will rise by an average of 5% a year, pricing the typical home at £360,000 by 2020. Industry figures show that first-time buyers typically need to find a deposit of 18% to secure a mortgage. So you could suggest from that, you know, if you look at investing in companies, look at companies that are into lettings or property. In fact, you know, I'm in one, Countrywide, which is don't invest in this, do your research, but ticket code CWD, and they also pay a very good dividend, so worth checking out Countrywide. But there are other companies available there. That's not a tip or recommendation, just a stepping stone in which to do your research. And here's the good news in the micro news. EasyJet shares were up by nearly 5% after the company said second half sales would spur a gain in full year earnings. Sage's revenue rose by 6.6% in the first 9 months of the year and reiterated its expectations for at least a 6% organic growth for full year. Eurotunnel has asked the French and British governments to repay nearly 10 million euros in security costs that it incurred as a result of the migrant crisis in Calais, as it posted a 9% rise in first half revenue. I heard a guy interviewed from Eurotunnel today, and French, amazing accent. He's actually saying words, though. I thought that was just noises. The Mission Marketing Group said trading during the first 6 months of the current year was above levels noted over the corresponding period last year. First quarter results, from Kinetic were in line with expectations. The most boring phrase in financial reporting ever. In line with expectations. It's so unimaginative, isn't it? As the company's healthy contract pipeline remains dependent on several UK defence spending reviews. Mining giant Fresnillo reported a significant increase in gold and silver output in the first half of 2015. DFS Furniture said strong trading has continued throughout the second half of 2015, with group sales for the year up to date up to 7% on the previous year. I always remember a comedian, I don't know who it was, a comedian said, do you know what, I'm so unlucky, I went to DFS and they didn't have a sale on. I quite like that, because that's virtually impossible, isn't it? And it's always ending, though. When it ends, a new one starts. Big deal. Land Securities has a solid start to the year and is maintaining good momentum with a healthy take-up in London, low vacancy rates and rental values rising. Weatherly International said it will reach full capacity and it's Tshudi in Namibia. Tshudi mine in the final quarter of the year. Synergen, one of my Sunday stock picks, announced AstraZeneca started another phase of testing on its asthma drug. Mobile payment solution group MyPay said its first half of the year was encouraging, with trading in line with expectations. Pub operator and brewing group Marston said trading in the 10 months of July was positive and in line with their expectations. PayPoint said its first quarter results were in line with expectations, but analysts at Numis described the update as disappointing. Numis! I hold those. I hold that stock, all right? Disappointing. What are you talking about? Where are they? PayPoint up 1.5% at £10.30. One of my Sunday stock picks. And I bought them at what? £9.50, something like that? £9, something like that? Yeah. Numis. Proxama, another of my companies I hold, announced a new contract with an unnamed major European payment processor set to generate £100,000 in the current financial year. By the way, it doesn't sound a lot, £100,000, but they are a penny stock, a really small penny stock. 1.45 pence they are. What else? Bad news. Here's the bad news. After a record production in the year 2015, BHP Billiton, as we chatted earlier with Paul, has trimmed its production guidelines for 2016. I sounded German. Guidelines in the face of waning prices and warned its underlying profits will be hit by a charge between 350 million and 650 million from impairments and redundancies at its copper business. Yeah, do you know what? I'm playing a game of brinkmanship with the share price here. I bought some more today of those and Royal Dutch Shell. They keep coming down, I keep buying. And I'm thinking, how can I keep averaging down on these companies? But you know what? These are two companies with unbroken dividends records for nearly 100 years apiece. And they're paying over 6% dividend now. And I do believe, like I said, you know, there'll be a snapback in these prices of commodities very soon when companies, like I chatted to Paul, when it's not viable for companies to go exploring and digging for oil or mining, you know, iron ore or copper, there will be a lack of supply. It's basic economics. And you can't just start, you know, drilling for oil tomorrow. It takes years to explore, to drill, to set all that up, the logistics of it. So when there begins a shortage in supply, it'll last for a long time. And what happens then? The price goes crazy. That's what I'm... The thing is, this could be a super cycle. I could be trying to, you know, average down for the next 10 years, and by which time I'll run out of funds. But we'll see. Johnson, yeah, I say it as if it's as if it's inconsequential. We'll see. Johnson Matthey, but saying that, I'm reinvesting my shares, so I'm from now on in, I'll always be buying. You know, pretty much. Johnson Matthey fell after it reported a 1% dip in pre-tax profit for the first quarter of this year. So what I'm saying by that is, if I'm reinvesting, I'm always rebuying and averaging down. You see. Yeah. Revenues fell for 5% in the Euromoney Institutional Investors' crucial third quarter as the Business Media Group's events unit faced new pressures from the energy sector on top of a challenging investment banking market. TalkTalk said the broadband market has become increasingly competitive and posted weaker than expected revenue growth in the 3 months to June. Pre-tax profits at Idigen took a 44% hit due to large one-off charges, but underlying results showed an encouraging progress and the company integrates last year's transformational acquisitions. And here are the broker forecasts. Here's the upgrades. Investec has upgraded Acacia Mining to buy, price target £3.14. Panmure Gordon has initiated coverage of Servalec Group with a buy rating, price target £3.54. Numis has upgraded Premier Oil to buy, price target £1.90. Interesting to see the oil company has been upgraded. Is Tullow Oil as well, an upgrade from Credit Suisse to outperform, price target £4.40. Mitchells and Butler add, price target £4.50. Numis initiated coverage of Flybe with a buy rating, price target £1.32. They've also upgraded DFS Furniture to add, price target £3.15. XN BNP Paribas has upgraded Credit International, neutral, price target £29.50. Goldman Sachs upgraded John Wood Group to buy, price target £7.15. They've also upgraded Tate & Lyle, really, to neutral, price target £4.70. A couple of brokers have started turning a bit more positive on Tate & Lyle. Well, come on, after 14 profit warnings, you've got to be. Buford Securities has initiated coverage of My Square Limited to speculative buy, price rating £21. And Heal downgrades. N plus one Singers downgraded Lion Trust Asset Management to hold, price target £3.43. Numis has downgraded Capita Group to hold, price target £13.65. Credit Suisse has downgraded Afire Energy to underperform, price target £1.25. Numis downgraded Lion Trust Asset Management, another one, to add, price target £4. They've also downgraded Borders and Southern Petroleum to hold, price target £4. Numis has downgraded Faro Petroleum to hold, price target £0.88. Credit Suisse has downgraded Rentokil Initial to neutral, price target £1.50. They've also, on Numis, is very busy for Numis, has downgraded EnQuest to add, price target £0.50. And they've also downgraded Myselix Technologies Corporation to hold, price target £1.44. That's it for the podcast. Don't forget, don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. It's only just opinion. And it's not your opinion, so please do your own research, as it's your own money. Much appreciated if you mention this podcast to a friend, or if you give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. I do appreciate it. And by all means, if you know of a possible 10-bagger or company that's a game changer, then please click the links here at sharepickers.com and fill out the information on the form there, and I could feature that company in the podcast tomorrow. Thank you very much for listening. I do appreciate it. Speak tomorrow.
The ADVFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.